Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to the channel. It is Denise. I know most of you here right now are in this live stream to make sure that I'm not dead after AEW Double or Nothing weekend. I kind of had a very interesting weekend, everyone. And by that, I lost my voice in Las Vegas. I started feeling sick in Las Vegas. It was terrible. The heat, it got to me, and then you would go into these hotels and they had their ACs blasted, man. Yesterday, I slept for, I think, 20 hours. I messaged Sean because I normally do the Raw post show, and I was like, dude, I'm not going to make it today. I don't feel good. I feel like death right now. And he was like, all right, let me see if I can find somebody to fill in for you. And I was literally like, asleep the first hour of Raw, and I woke up and I was like, do I have to show up for Raw today? And he was like, you don't have to show up for Raw today. So I'm back here today. I'm hoping that I can make it through this post show like I normally do. Just in case, I'll probably just mute myself or something. But for the most part, I think I'll be able to get through this show. I better, because I've been feeling a lot better today. So much better today, actually. But I do apologize because not feeling well yesterday. I was unable to do my Double or Nothing post show, which really, really bothered me. You guys know I do not miss shows unless I have a legitimate reason. And so I was very upset that I could not do my post show yesterday. But that just means I got to work harder this week now that I am healthy once again. But seriously, guys, I thank you all so much. We are going to go ahead and talk about we're going to talk about AEW Double or Nothing. No, we're not. We're going to talk about WWE NXT 2.0, the May 31st edition. We got quite a few items to talk about here today. It was a decent show. We're making our way into In Your House, which is taking place this weekend. So we will be going ahead and talking about all of that here today. But we're going to kick things off with our first super chat of the day. And this is from Darf Stevens, who says, everyone go like all of Denise's videos that she posted. Thank you so much. Also, for those of you who are watching the stream, do you want this light to be brighter, because I dimmed it down so it wouldn't be too hot in here, because I cannot turn the AC on because it's literally killing me to have the AC on. But if it looks too dark in here, let me know and I will make the light a lot brighter, because I feel like I look very dark on screen and I'm afraid people can't see me or something. But yes, please, guys, go check out all of those videos over at youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. All of my Scrum videos are up there. They're doing pretty okay. They're not doing Denise is going to make her money back numbers, but they're doing some numbers. So go out there and check those out as well. Thank you so much to Steven for sending in the super chat. And people said, as it looks fine. Okay, cool, guys. So we'll leave the lights as is. I won't make it any brighter because I just don't want a bright light right now in my face. Let's see what we got here. This is a question from M. Caspito, who says, Denise, since you're going to be at Dynamite, why not a Thursday post show? So I was debating about doing an early Thursday post show, but I can't because I have an interview that morning with a talent. And so I cannot do a Thursday post show. So I am going to be doing a late AEW Dynamite post show tomorrow. So my plan is to hopefully, I'm hoping to do a 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time post show, which would be Eastern time, I believe, for everybody else. So it will be a late night post show. But for those of you guys who are night owls and want to stay up, you are more than welcome to come in and hang out for that post show. So it's going to be a different time slot, but we'll see who comes in for all of that. All right, so let's get into the show, everybody. Let's talk about 2.0. We kicked off the night here today with a pretty good opening match, I would say. Pretty Deadly versus Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp. And this was one of the first times we really got to see Damon Kemp on NXT 2.0. And I got to tell you guys, dude, I'm a fan, man. I am a fan. You know, Damon Kemp is Bobby Stevenson, but I didn't really know much about Bobby Stevenson other than his name, other than, you know, he's the brother of Gable Stevenson. That's all I really knew about him. I had no other familiarity with him. I had never really seen him perform. So for me, this was completely brand new to see Damon Kemp here on NXT 2.0. So with that being said, dude, I think he came in here and he just brought, like, not did only did he bring intensity when he was executing all his suplexes. He had a really nice spear, but he brought adrenaline, man. Like, the guy can go. The guy can move. He's almost similar to Bron Breakker and the Creed brothers, where they're like more of these like boxier guys, but they go in with a lot of prowess into the ring. I really, really enjoyed it, to the point where I'm looking so much more forward to Damon Kemp than I was when he first got introduced to the Diamond Mine, where I'm even thinking to myself, man, I cannot wait for Damon Kemp to like go out and do his own thing. Like, he's definitely, based on what I saw here tonight, I think he's going to be a top guy for sure on NXT. Like, man, you know, it kind of felt like for a while Bron Breakker was going to be like the only person from the new era of NXT 2.0 that was really going to amount to anything. But now seeing Damon Kemp, I feel like he's another person that I want to throw up there in terms of guys who can probably, you know, end up making it a lot bigger on, you know, on WWE, of course. So, dude, kudos to Damon Kemp. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to be doing. And let's go ahead and see what we got here. This is a comment from Pile Driver Finisher, who says he seemed a bit messy, but didn't notice him in a mess up in a terrible way. I think he covered, like, if there was any sort of messiness, he covered it up with the adrenaline. Like, he went in there and he was just so hyped. Like, he went in there and he just executed every move, that it was like, there were some things that, you know, I get what you mean. Like, they weren't crisp, but because he went in there with so much adrenaline, I feel like it kind of took over, to the point where like it came across as impressive. So I was a fan of what he had to do. I was a big, big fan of his on here. And let's see what people are saying. This is from Jordan Bailey, who says, I became a fan of Damon Kemp after watching some of his matches on NXT Level Up. I don't watch NXT Level Up. I'm not gonna watch NXT Level Up. So I will take your word for it, man. I tend to not watch the shows that I don't have to cover. So if I don't have to cover it, if I'm not getting paid, I ain't watching it. But seriously though, I do think he did a phenomenal job here. We did end up getting Pretty Deadly, got the win here, but basically what we had was a little bit of a miscommunication here, because Roderick Strong did not want the Creed brothers out there. In fact, he gave them the day off and didn't want them to go out there and interfere in his matchup, sort of say. He wanted to show them how to get the job done, because Roderick Strong's kind of been, he's kind of been a little mean to his guys lately on NXT. He hasn't been very nice to them. They've been teasing this breakup. They've been teasing this dissension now for a couple of weeks, but Pretty Deadly was basically going to cheat. Creed Brothers came in and helped and tried to help out Roderick Strong, but instead the distraction ended up causing the loss for Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp, and that is how Pretty Deadly were able to win. So this was later explained afterwards, because Roderick Strong was super pissed at the Creed Brothers, but Ivy Nile explained the whole thing to him, and then I guess all was good, at least for now. But they're still pretty much expect a breakup for the Diamond Mine. And let's go ahead and continue on from here. Adam Bull has a question saying, is the Roddy Strong issue resolved? I don't think anything else recently has been posted in regards to that. The last thing that we heard, as you all know, is that he wanted his release. He didn't get his release, and he's still there. That's where we're at right now. Wanted his release, didn't get it, still there. In terms of, you know, he's still going out there. He's doing his stuff with the Diamond Mine. They seem to be getting a hold of things now, because at first it was a little bit like wonky, like you didn't really know what was going to go on with the Diamond Mine, especially with the removal of Malcolm Bivens, who was such a big portion of the Diamond Mine. And but with Roderick Strong, they quickly went into this thing where he was, you know, beefing with the Creed brothers, and then they had the Creed brothers do all of the stuff with the Viking Raiders that turned out to be pretty damn entertaining, and then they immediately brought in Damon Kemp, so it kind of made up, I think, for the loss of Malcolm Bivens. Like, they kept things moving along in terms of the storyline progression for the Diamond Mine, to where like the people weren't gonna notice the huge hit that the group took by having the removal of Malcolm Bivens. So they kept it moving along, which was definitely good. But let's go ahead and move on from here. So after this, we had one of my favorite portions of NXT 2.0 here today. So you guys know that I have been enjoying the Tony D'Angelo stuff, along with Santos Escobar and his guys. And I've been liking their stuff, guys. Like, both dudes trying to take over NXT, both of them trying to have their say in NXT, have them be the leaders of NXT, etc. And we've been seeing them go back and forth, whatever. They've had these dinner meetings. There's been kidnappings. We did have a match between Tony and Santos last week in which Santos Escobar cheated with the use of the brass knucks to get the win on Tony D'Angelo. But that's not to say Tony D'Angelo is innocent, because he too tried to cheat. It's just that Legado del Fantasma was one step ahead of the Don. So this was good. And I will tell you that I was literally paying attention to every single word that was being said here. There's so many times where we're on here on NXT and we're talking about how certain promos just don't work, man. And some of them, you like the biggest one being the Joe Gacy stuff. The Joe Gacy stuff, man, it's so hard to listen to. But this is complete opposite. I've been very, very invested in this storyline. And this one here today, their yacht segment ended up being possibly one of my favorites, because you had Tony D'Angelo and his guys, what does he call them, freaking Stacks and Two Dimes, or Two Stacks and 10 Cents. I forgot their goddamn names. What's their names? Two Dimes. One of them is Dimes. One of them is Stacks. Two Stacks, Two Dimes. Oh, man, what is it? All right, send them in, guys. They gave him very complicated names where, like, I ain't going to remember them. But anyways, so they went in there and they met up with they met up with Santos Escobar and his guys, and they ended up having this meeting where they're going back and forth on the about Tony D'Angelo wanting a rematch. But Santos Escobar, at first, he was kind of like, all right, fine, let's do this again. But Elektra kind of brought up the fact that Santos Escobar already defeated him, so what is in it for them? Like, why should they give them a rematch? Like, why should there be a rematch between any members of the groups if Santos Escobar already got his win? So they ended up making a 6-man tag for In Your House, with the stipulation being whoever loses the members. So if Santos Escobar and his guys lose, they end up having to join Tony D'Angelo and his guys. And if Tony D'Angelo loses, they all got to join Legado del Fantasma. So whoever loses has to join the other stable and essentially be like henchmen and be like bottom of the barrel of the group. So kind of be like tortured. So this is going to be interesting. I love that they made this stipulation because it kind of leaves you wondering, okay, they could go either direction here with both of these. And regardless, there's going to be conflict, etc. So I love this. I love this, everything that they did at the yacht. This was very fun. So what did you guys think of this? Was this as big of a hit for you as it was for me? Thank you so much, Adam Bull. It's Two Dimes and Stacks. See, I'm like, who the hell is it? Two Stacks? Because if you think about it, when you think of stacks, I don't think of dollar bills. I think of pancakes. So I'm thinking like, oh, a two-stack combo at IHOP, and I can get like eggs and sausage and bacon. That's where my mind goes. So I'm like, is it Two Dimes or Two Stacks? Because I'd rather have two stacks than two dimes. All right, I'm thinking about this way too much. I just don't get the lingo, guys. I don't get the lingo, man. I just don't get the lingo. all right, let's see what people are saying here in regards to all of this. We got Christopher putting over Legado del Fantasma. Marvin as well saying the segment between Legado del Fantasma and Tony D was absolutely awesome. People are really enjoying this. Thank you, Joe Lewis, for the kind comment. But people are really enjoying this feud between Tony and Santos. And I agree. Jordan Bailey says it's Troy Two Dimes Donovan and Channing Stacks Lorenzo. I ain't going to remember that. I'm Troy and Channing. And I was literally talking about this last week. So it's not like I didn't know their names. I'm just not going to remember their names, man. It ain't going to happen, guys. It ain't going to happen. But either way, this is good stuff. This is probably the highlights, I would say, or one of the highlights for NXT and their programming consistently. You know what? Now that I think about it, there hasn't been. Think about this. And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, chat. What other storyline on NXT 2.0 recently has been good consistently each and every single week? I can't think of another one besides Tony and Santos. I can't think of anything else that legitimately has been good each and every single week. Maybe the drama between Roderick Strong and Creed Brothers, that has been good, but I wouldn't compare it to the same level as Tony and Santos. I don't think there's been anything else. We got a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson. Thank you so much to Sheldon, who says, for some reason, I feel Giovanni Vinci slash Fabian Aichner is going to debut and interfere on Tony's behalf to give his team the win. It could happen, man. Bring in the Italian. It wouldn't make sense to this group. He would definitely fit in. So that could be a possibility. I have a feeling they're going to do the whole Veer Mahan thing with him, where they keep saying coming soon, and then like a year goes by and he's still coming soon. I don't know why, but once it goes past 2 weeks and they don't give you an actual date, I start to worry about this. I'm like, I don't know if he's going to be coming soon. Because if you do coming soon 1 week and then next week you're like, oh, this person's debuting this week, I'm like, all right, that's fine. But if you do coming soon each and every single week, I'm going to start worrying, man. They're going to start to Veer Mahan you. But thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for this very kind super chat. Now, before we go ahead and continue, everybody, let's take a second here to give a shout out over to our sponsors. This weekend, actually, this is pretty freaking cool. So one of my followers won the AEW Double or Nothing Pick'em contest. They legitimately won $1,000. I kid you not. I got the email this morning that said one of my followers ended up winning the entire giveaway. Not the giveaway. They won the actual contest, the actual pick'em contest. $1,000 freaking. I was like, damn, bruh. But anyway, so we did have somebody win the $1,000 for the Double or Nothing pick'em contest. Crazy, huh? Well, you have a chance to enter two different contests right now at WrestleRumble.com. The first one is the NBA Finals Pick'em Contest. Listen up. Even if you aren't a basketball-esque expert, you have a 50-50 shot on almost every question. They're going to ask you things like, which team will win the NBA Finals? Which team will have the most total points in the series? Which team will have the most total rebounds in the series? And you're probably wondering, like, Denise, what do I get out of this? I'm a wrestling fan. Well, I'll tell you what you get out of it here. Take a look at this. The winner gets the new Brock Lesnar Signature Series title. That is right. If you enter the NBA Finals Pick'em Contest, the winner gets the new Brock Lesnar Signature Series title. The cutoff time to enter this contest at WrestleRumble.com is on Thursday, June 2nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once again, the cutoff to enter at WrestleRumble.com is on Thursday, June 2nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Put your basketball quiz to the test and maybe you guys can get the bout. Now, if you're like, you know what, Denise, I just want to do the wrestling stuff. Well, don't worry because we got you covered on that end too. The other contest currently going up, currently open, excuse me, to enter is the Hell in a Cell Pick'em Contest. This is the one where you answer prop questions about the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and you can possibly win $1,000. Like I said, one of my followers won this past weekend. The next one could be you winning for the Hell in a Cell. And the deadline to enter the Hell in a Cell Pick'em Contest is on June 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once again, head on over to WrestleRumble.com. Links in the description box below. WrestleRumble.com. Man, $1,000, guys. I was like, damn, I would have loved to win $1,000. But anyways, let's go ahead and continue on from here because we still got a couple of things to talk about. And sorry, guys, I have to grab a drink because my throat is just so easily dry right now. I'm drier than a Popeye's biscuit. All right, so Electra Lopez versus Cara Jade. Oh, man, I'm waiting for the chat's reaction on that one, guys. I'm slowly waiting for the chat's reaction. But I kid you not, I've been having to drink so many liquids right now because, man, my throat. All right, moving on. We got a match between Electra Lopez versus Cora Jade. A really easy win for Cora Jade. This was a good victory for her against Electra Lopez, somebody who's actually been featured on the show. Nothing much else to add here. Electra Lopez is working her way up there. She's got her character down. She's still working on the in-ring stuff. So clearly this was going to be an easy victory for Cora Jade. She did give her a little something during this, so it was perfectly fine. This match didn't hurt anybody. Cora picks up a victory. Perfectly fine. Now let's get into Roxanne Perez. They did the cutest, and I mean cutest, promo video for Roxanne Perez. Now, I had never seen that footage of her. I don't know if maybe she had posted this prior on social media. I have no idea. But they showed this footage of her when she's this little girl. I think she was like 13 at the time, or I forget how old she was in that video, but she's literally there waiting to meet the wrestlers. And she ends up, I don't know if she's chatting with Brie or Nikki, but she's chatting with one of the Bella twins and Natty, who's there with her. And she's telling them how she's going to be a WWE diva and this and that. And they're like flattering her, you know, they're celebrities and, you know, they're treating her like a child. It's really freaking cute. But then you're like, shit, now here she is on WWE NXT doing just what she said she was going to do. But you see that footage of her as a little girl and it trips you out, man, because, you know, Roxanne Perez, she's grown now. She's still young, clearly, but she was a little girl in that video. And I personally freaking love that so much because I was that little girl back in the day. Like, I wasn't trying to be a wrestler, you know, but I remember going to the events and waiting for the wrestlers to come out and trying to get a picture, trying to get a hello, a wave, and anything. And so seeing that footage of Roxanne Perez, I thought was just so freaking endearing. A huge fan of that. But this was really funny, though. So they show that clip, and then afterwards she talks about how she used to go train, like take a bus for like 10. This didn't make sense to me, but she took a bus for 10 hours, and I think she said each way. And I'm like, how often were you riding 10 hours on a bus? But the point is, she was riding 10 hours on a bus to go to Booker T's school. And on top of that, she starts talking about how she did her training with Booker T, how even though she was the smallest person in the class, he didn't take it easy on her, and how she learned so much, and how while her friends were watching Pretty Little Liars, she was watching Monday Night Raw. And I'm like, damn, so we were both going in circles here. Then she also talks about her friendship with Cora Jade and how she wouldn't be here if it wasn't also for Cora Jade. So that kind of all tied in together. As we know, she's in the finals of the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. So this was really nice. I really like this. Tony says, Denise, is it possible for both Cora and Roxanne to become NXT Women's World Tag Team Champions? We had somebody last week say that they have a feeling that Roxanne, instead of going for the championship, is going to maybe cash in and try to get a tag team title shot. We did have that somebody predict that last week, so I wouldn't be surprised. Reductive 92 says, in the video, Brie said Roxanne is going to carry the Bella legacy. I love the Latina acknowledgement. BTW, you, the Bellas, and Roxanne can be primas. We can all be sisters. I love it. Except that they're talented and can get in the ring and do shit, and I can't. So I could be the voice. I could be the manager. There you go. All right. Moving on from here, we got Zion Quinn versus Wesley. Oh, man, they had been promoting this match. It was supposed to happen last week. We had already seen this match, though, so I didn't want to see it again. This was one of the first matches we saw Wesley in. After the whole MSK separation thing went down. And personally, I could care less about Zion Quinn versus Wesley. But I will tell you this, though. There was a spot during this match where I was like, oh, shit. So there was a moment where Zion Quinn literally lifts up Wesley and just freaking tosses him right into the turnbuckle, the second turnbuckle. But, and that doesn't seem too drastic, but if you watch this, if you watch the clip, you would know what I'm talking about because he literally threw him so hard. And because Wesley is a small guy, it was very, very impactful to the point where I was like, oh shit. Like, that was my favorite part of this entire match. It was the only thing that I even remember, the only thing that was remotely of interest. But what they basically ended up telling us in this match was Zion Quinn was like dominating and he was beating the crap out of Wesley. Like I said, he tossed him like it was nobody's business, like he was a sack of potatoes. But Wesley ended up getting a quick roll up and ended up getting the surprise victory. So it was like this, they basically treated it as like a, oh my God, I can't believe Wesley got the win on Zion Quinn. So I'm glad that he got the win, even if it was the manner in which he got it in, because they've been making Wesley kind of look like a baby lately. Like, he went from being, like, the portrayal of Wesley has been interesting, because he went from being champion to being kind of treated like a little kid on the roster to being treated like a baby. And so I haven't been too big of a fan of that, because I'm like, dude, this guy was, regardless, he was an NXT champion, and I get it, he's like a kid or whatever, but I don't like the fact that they kind of treat him like a baby. But either way, he gets the win over Zion Quinn. You just know we're gonna get this match again. There's nothing else to say about that, man. Nothing else. I'm glad that they gave Wesley a win, because when the match started, I thought, so we're just seeing the exact same thing we already saw. But then they ended up giving them the win, so I was like, okay, fine, I could live with that. M. Durrett agrees with me, saying that was a nasty spot. Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Let's see what we got here. Jordan Bailey says, what do you think they're going to do with Sangha and Wesley? Do you think they will form a tag team or a potential feud between them? I have a feeling they could do some sort of partnership, because from the looks of it, Sangha seems to be like sort of endearing towards Wesley. And we even saw it the week before that, where he kind of even gave him like a little bit of a, I don't know if it was like a hug or a side hug, but he looked a little bit like he had a little bit of endearment towards Wesley, which I was like, okay, that's a little bit odd, but fine. But see, I'm not a fan of that. It makes him look like a child. It makes him look like a child, like, oh, cute little kid. Look at you go, pat on your head, you know? Isaac Looper says he's 33. Exactly. So don't treat him like a baby. Come on. He's 33 and a former champion. I know he's small, but damn. Let's not make him into a child. Thank you. Pile Driver Finisher says he patted his shoulder. Thank you. I'm like, I remember something. I remember something that happened. All right. Toxic Attraction. Wendy, Kaden, and Katana Chance, they all do their contract signing. This was fun. This was harmless. They're basically, you have a one side Toxic Attraction talking about how they're controlling the division. And then Kaden brings up this really good point. And she's like, yeah, it's easy to be on top when you're not even defending the titles. So that is true. They are hardly ever defending the title. So yeah, it's easy to be on top when you're not defending the titles as much. Oh, Jesus, guys, you did not hear that. Anyways, so then afterwards, Wendy Chu, this whole entire time, Wendy Chu is saying, sign the contract. And I love this. This literally reminded me of like somebody in a business meeting just trying to get the damn contract signed, but there's all these petty people arguing and this and that, going back and forth and this and that. So Wendy Chu kind of got the crowd into it, and the crowd starts chanting, sign the contract, so they get behind Wendy Chu, etc. And then we get some more beef between Mandy Rose and Wendy Chu. So Mandy Rose has this beef against Wendy because she's a child. She sees her as a child, which, let's be real, we all kind of see her as a child, because, you know, she's out there in a onesie and she looks like she just came out of Chuck E. Cheese and all of that. So she's like pissed. Mandy Rose is pissed off, and rightfully so, though. I kind of agree with Mandy. She's like, why do you want this child as a champion? So even though Mandy is supposed to be the heel in this, I kind of agree with her. Why do you want a child as a champion? Like, as much as I like Wendy Chu, why? I agree with Mandy Rose. Why would you want this, like, a grown woman who's like a child as a champion? Why? I get it. Lovable, cool. But I actually agree with the heel in this. Afterwards, they end up brawling. And this is what I'm calling this. I'm calling it a sleepy elbow because Wendy Chu gives a sleepy elbow. She does this, and then she goes to the top rope. She does this little pose, the little sleepy pose, and she ends up launching herself onto Mandy Rose, who's set up on a table. So she puts her through the table by doing the little sleepy thing. I'm going to call it the sleepy elbow. And that's pretty much how this whole thing ends up. I agree. Like, as much as I like Wendy Chu and her whole character is fun and this and that, Mandy Rose is right though. Why would you want a child or somebody that behaves like a child as your NXT champion? You know, Walter Johnson says Wendy Chu is not a kid. Exactly. But her character is that she acts like one. So that's Mandy Rose's whole beef with all of that. Sheldon Jackson says, my thing was when Gigi and JC said, have you ever won a pay-per-view? Like, excuse you two, y'all haven't won a pay-per-view either. Oh, man, that's funny. Tony here says Wendy Chu had a freshly squeezed moment on Mandy where they take a nap drop through the freaking table. King of Hueco Mundo says Chu is very talented. She needs to drop that character to be a great wrestler and a champion. But you know what? She is making the character work, okay? Like, I get, and she's making the character work. Like, if this would have been given to anybody else, oh, man, it would have been so bad. But Wendy Chu has been making it work. So I will give her that. Okay. She has been making it work. Now, moving on after this, we got a match between Duke Hudson and Solo Sikoa. Very quick match. Solo Sikoa gets the win. Nothing much that I want to add there. We got a promo from Tiffany Stratton. I'm liking Tiffany Stratton more and more each and every single week, because I said this from the very beginning, if you're going to do this character, you got to actually go for it. You got to have her be extremely, extremely bratty. You have to have her be annoying. Please, I will give her classes. That is my specialty right there. But I love Tiffany. The bitchier she is, the meaner she is, the snootier she is, the more I like her character. They need to now amplify that. Like, come on, this is such an easy character. This is the easiest character you can possibly have. The mean, rich, blonde girl that's a little bit dumb. Easy, easy. So they have her, you know, cut a promo. She's talking about how she wasn't even in the tournament for the breakout tournament, but she ended up getting involved in it and how now she's in the finals. I like it. I loved everything she had to say. I think she's getting so much better. I think when she first kind of got started, she had the character, like they had given her character, right? But they weren't really doing anything different with it. They weren't really doing anything. Like, she was just coming out and just like, you know, doing this, but there wasn't much anything else. And I remember coming on here and saying they need to give her like more. Like, if you're going to give her this character, you got to really push it. You got to give her something. So they have been doing that more so now, which I appreciate. So I think things are definitely getting better with Tiffany Stratton. I'm becoming a bigger fan of hers all the way. Yeah, M. Durant says Tiffany is finding her stride. Yeah, she seems way more comfortable with the character. Like, even with the annoying voice, like, she was nailing it. I'm telling you, let me coach Tiffany Stratton on this character. I live this character. I know this character by heart, okay? Born and raised in Los Angeles. I know a million girls like this. And in a little bit of that lives in me too. Zeno Hour points out that her delivery was so much better. She feels more natural. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, all you have to do is watch Mean Girls like 100 times. Watch Mean Girls, watch Clueless, watch The Hot Chick. I mean, literally, there are a million movies at your service for you to rip off some content ideas. So I definitely think that she did a good job. And from the looks of it, a lot of people kind of agree with me as well. Pal Driver Finisher, ew, what up? Ew, a bus? There's a thing called planes, you know? Yeah, she said something like that. That was really funny. Tony says, Shawn Michaels, please hire Denise to manage Tiffany. Yeah, seriously. Although, technically, I'm too poor to be Tiffany Stratton's manager, though. I'd have to be, like, way richer to be her manager. But, hey, girl, we can go to the pink wall. We can get our picks on Melrose. Girl, I know what's up. All right, moving on from here. You guys don't know LA, Denise, all right? You guys do not know bougie Los Angeles, Hollywood, Denise, all right? Y'all haven't seen it. Y'all know, you guys just know wrestling nerd Denise, but you have not seen Hollywood Salcedo at her finest in her natural habitat here in Los Angeles. All right, moving on before I choke to death here. All right, let's see, what do we got next? After this, we had Grayson Waller versus Josh Briggs. This is fine. I mean, Josh Briggs, they had him show his power during this. He got a couple of boots on Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller has more of a, I don't know, frick. Grayson Waller gets the win, guys. There's not much I want to say about this match because I didn't even care about this match. Von Wagner attacks Grayson Briggs. He attacks Josh Briggs, after this match. And I just don't care. I just don't care about any of it. I don't even know what's happening here. I'm supposed to be telling you guys what's happening here. I don't know what's happening here. This is just... yeah, I feel they really dropped the ball with Grayson Waller. I've said this before. The dude was getting the rub from freaking AJ Styles. You had AJ Styles go to NXT 2.0 to beef with this guy, and now he's doing this? Come on, give him something more. You don't just get the rub from AJ Styles on the show and then go into this, like, C story on WWE NXT 2.0. Like, do something with that. Like, nobody cares about Grayson Waller versus Josh Briggs with a Von Wagner attack afterwards. Absolutely nobody. Zeno Hour says, don't forget about Thea Hale choosing Chase U. Thea Hale, they say she graduates. They show the footage. They have her picking her school. She rejects Notre Dame, some other universities. I don't even know. I was a Cal State student, guys. I didn't have the grades for a UCLA, and USC rejected me. Yeah, USC, I remember that. Y'all rejected me. I wasn't smart enough for you guys. It's all right. But anyways, she chooses to go to Chase U University. Congratulations, Thea Hale. Oh, man. Amonta says we need more Hollywood. my fiance makes fun of me though, because he makes fun of me with the way that I say hello to people, because I do this thing where I go, hi, nice to meet you, I'm Denise Salcedo, and he thinks it's the bougiest thing ever. But I'm like, how do you want me to say hello, my name is Denise Salcedo? Like, no. But anyway, so he thinks it's very bougie, but let's move on from that. Kiana James versus Ivy Nile. I actually really liked this match. I liked the story. This was literally what they called a brains over brawn match, where you had Kiana James, who is like the studious girl, and then you had Ivy Nile, who is always working out, and she's those, you know, buff fitness girls. And so you kind of had two different girls coming together during this match, and that was basically the background to this. Kiana James was like a little bit annoyed at Ivy Nile because Ivy Nile was training backstage, and Kiana James was like, what are you doing? And so this all led to an actual match here. But I like this. I really enjoyed this match for the most part, because Kiana James, she's very feisty, and I like that. So when she's in there and she's wrestling, she, no matter what she's doing, even if she's doing something really simple, she's very feisty while she's doing it. So it makes me more interested in what she's doing in the ring. And then with Ivy Nile, it's interesting because I first thought when Ivy Nile came in that she was going to be a heel, and they were kind of treating her like she kind of was a heel, but she was this very like, just like the way that she was, like the way that she was portrayed, where she would just come in and she would, for the first couple of weeks, she would just like kill girls. But the way that she would do it, it was sort of like a heelish way. And now, you know, we're definitely kind of seeing this new version of Ivy Nile, where before she was like this, this brick wall that you could not get through. You could not break down this Ivy Nile. And now we're getting more of this kind of sweet Ivy Nile. When she was talking today, she had like this very sweet voice. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, clearly she's leaning more towards the side of the Creed brothers. So when the whole breakup happens, I'm expecting to see Ivy Nile go off with the Creed brothers. So we're seeing this shift in the character of Ivy Nile, where she went from like, oh, this, you know, scary girl who would beat the living lights out of you. And now she's more of like this, she's being presented a little softer now. So I like this. I thought this was a fun match. Ivy Nile ends up getting the win here. Afterwards, Pretty Deadly confronts Ivy Nile, and they start telling her that congratulations on your win. Too bad the Creed brothers are not going to know a victory like you are. And then they ask her what she's going to do after the Diamond Mine is no more. But before they can get any further, the Creed brothers come from behind. So they have Ivy Nile's back. And then they end up going at it with Pretty Deadly. So this was perfectly fine, guys. And I'm liking this. I'm liking where we're going with this. We got a comment saying that Ivy Nile has improved. I think so, too. I think Ivy Nile has been improving. I liked those little segments where she was, you know, basically a boot camp instructor and all of that. That's been perfectly fine. But I'm curious to see what I feel like there's a really big opportunity there for Ivy Nile. I can almost see her taking on a role like Beth Phoenix when she was the Glamazon. I can see them doing something similar to that with Ivy Nile. So I feel like there's a big opportunity there with Ivy, especially now that we're seeing like the softer features of her versus just like this, you know, big buff girl that can rip heads off. Also, I'm going to let you guys in on a interview scoop. So I have an interview this Thursday with an NXT talent. Can you guess who that talent is? Chat, I'm going to let you guys guess it, and I will let you know whoever guesses it first will be the winner of today. You don't win anything but pride. So whoever guesses who my interview is with on Thursday, you will win pride on this stream. I'm curious. Can you guys guess which NXT 2.0 talent I'm interviewing this weekend? It's kind of funny. All right, we got it. Congratulations, Isaac Looper. I'm interviewing Joe Gacy. It is happening, ladies and gents. So whatever questions you want to know, send them in, man. Send them in. I scored an interview with Joe Gacy. It is happening this Thursday, so it'll be out at some point on Thursday. Following after that, Arthur also guessed it too, and I believe in Supremacy also guessed it too. So three people guessed it. Joe Gacy. Power Driver Finisher says, oh my. Oh my, indeed. I don't know if he's going to be in character. I don't know if he's going to be in character or not. Usually the WWE talent isn't in character. So I don't think he will be, which I really hope not. I don't think he will be, though. They usually aren't in character. I mean, Becky Lynch was in character, but I think Becky Lynch is more of a different situation. She was in character. Montez Ford was a little bit in character, but his wasn't so bad because, like, it wasn't bad because, like, he was a little bit in character, but it really, I don't even think I would actually count his as being in character. No, you know what? Never mind. Now that I think about it, I wouldn't count it. Becky Lynch was in character, though, but I don't think Joe Gacy will be, because if he is, then it'll just be weird. Like, it'll be really weird, you know? But I don't think he will be. M. Durant sends in a super chat saying, Denise, great interview with Mia Yim. I wish you could have spoken for an hour. During this time of mental health awareness, it was incredible to see how much the main roster experience negatively impacted her. Sad to see. Thank you so much for watching the interview and for sending in the super chat. So I only had 20 minutes with Mia Yim. I know a lot of people were like, you should have asked her this, you could have done this, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people really liked that interview, though, which made me very happy. I got so much good feedback from it. But I legitimately only had 20 minutes with her, guys. So I tried to get in as much as I possibly could. And also, people don't know this, but I was told not to ask her about WWE in this interview. I was told that she wasn't going to talk about it. And so if you watched that interview, and if you watched it and you missed it, go back. I never asked her about WWE. That was information that she herself revealed to me. I asked her in a different way about that time when she was released, but I never mentioned WWE. So those are just like some fun facts that maybe people didn't know going into the interview, that I wasn't not supposed to really ask her about WWE. And I also only had 20 minutes with her. So, but wait, I ended up getting a lot in those 20 minutes. And it was because she felt comfortable enough to share that information with me. So that was really nice. Check out that interview with Mia Yim. Thank you so much to M. Durrett. All right. And let's go ahead and move on from here. We got another promo for Giovanni Vinci, which kind of talked about it earlier today, which is people expecting it to be Fabian Aichner. All it tells me is I need to study Italian. Then we got our main event, Cameron Grimes versus Nathan Frazier. They have really been utilizing Nathan Frazier a whole lot on NXT 2.0. It is clear that they see something in him, and I definitely see it because he's been having entertaining matches. He's already had wins over Wesley, over Grayson Waller. Wesley, a former champion, Grayson Waller, a guy that was, you know, pretty featured, you know, featured pretty heavily on NXT 2.0 for a while there. And so since it's coming into NXT 2.0, they have been making sure to make him a focal point, having these big matches. This match that he had with Cameron Grimes was more particularly enjoyable, really just because we know that Cameron Grimes moves at a really, really fast pace, and Nathan Frazier was clearly able to keep up with him. So they had a really fun match. I love the finish where Cameron Grimes did that like boot to the face of Nathan Frazier and ended up getting the win. This was good. Afterwards, we ended up seeing Carmelo come out and go after Cameron Grimes. So this was perfectly fine. Let's get into In Your House predictions here and talk about the matches that have been announced for that night. Before I do, just a friendly reminder, guys, that I will be live tomorrow night for AEW Dynamite. I will be at the show because it is the first show that is taking place at the Forum here in Los Angeles. So I will be at the show. And then immediately after that, it's probably going to take me, like, let's say the show, what, it ends at 7? I'm out at the arena by, like, 7:20. I'm giving myself 20 minutes to get out of the arena, and I will probably be home by like 7:40, and I'm going to give myself an extra 20 minutes because of traffic, and maybe it'll take me longer to get out of the parking lot. Who knows? So I'm hoping to do a show at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which would be midnight Eastern Time. So it's going to be late night with Denise Salcedo, but I think it'll be a good time. So if you guys want to come in for a late night stream to chat AEW Dynamite and get the live experience from it, I got your back. All right, but now let's go ahead and get into this NXT In Your House pay-per-view. So the matches that we got is that six-man tag team match with the losing team joining the winning team's family, and that is Tony D'Angelo, Channing Stats Lorenzo, and Troy Two Dimes Donovan versus the Gallo del Fantasma, Santos, Cruz del Toro, and Joaquin Wilde. I don't want Legado del Fantasma to lose this match because I don't know how I want to see it play out where Santos Escobar is kind of the leader in all of this. I don't want it to be Tony D'Angelo. So because of that, I'm rooting for Legado del Fantasma. And I feel like because they already got the win, Santos already got the win this last weekend when he used the brass knucks. I have a feeling it is going to be Tony D'Angelo and his guys. But I think it would be more entertaining because Santos has a little bit more charisma, I think. I think it'd be more entertaining if if Tony D'Angelo and his guys lost and had to join Santos Escobar and his guys. So personally, I'm going for them, man. Shelton Jackson says Denise After Dark. Definitely Speak Now Pro Wrestling After Dark. We got a lot of people here rooting for Legado del Fantasma, so clearly I'm on point with something here. The other match that we got is Mandy Rose versus Wendy Chu for the NXT Women's Championship. I've been seeing a lot of people want Wendy Chu to win this match. I think it would be interesting to have Wendy Chu win. I'm not opposed to her winning. I think it would really cement the brand new version of NXT 2.0 Nothing screams NXT 2.0 more so than Wendy Chu as your women's NXT champion. Like, she is all NXT 2.0. Like, the two different, like, you have, like, Mandy Rose represents, like, the NXT 2.0 that's, like, trying to be sexy and trying to do the sex appeal stuff. But Wendy Chu represents, like, the goofy aspect of NXT 2.0. So I feel like they're both very 2.0, just in different ways. So I kind of have a feeling that we're going to see Wendy Chu become champion at In Your House. Like, I would be surprised if Mandy Rose held down to the bout there. I don't know, guys. Something tells me that it may be Wendy Chu. Let's see what we got here. And we got some people saying Mandy Rose. We got, let's see. Well, I think for the most part, we got people saying Wendy Chu. No, Mandy Rose retains. Yeah, more people's here saying, Mandy Rose. Alrighty, so after this, we got a Toxic Attraction versus Katana Chance and Kaden Carter. I would really, 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 and I cannot stress this enough, really like to see a title change here, guys. I am over Toxic Attraction being champions. They have gotten extremely stale. And stale is me being nice, because if I'm being legit, they've gotten supremely boring. So Katana Chance, Kaden Carter, please put the belts on them. Spice things up. Liven it up. I'm done with Toxic Attraction. I've been a fan of theirs from the beginning, but there's nothing else. They're not doing anything else for me. Nothing. Nothing. And they've gotten so stale. Tony says Kaden and Katana. Quan, Kaden and Katana. Mike New York also believes Toxic will retain. I hope not. But if they do retain, though, if they do retain, there is one silver lining in all of this. And the one silver lining is that then if they do retain, I'm assuming that they're going to give the titles to Roxanne and Cora Jade. So if they do retain, Roxanne and Cora Jade. Now, okay, here's my prediction. If Mandy Rose retains, then I'm expecting to see Roxanne Perez, if she wins the tournament, I'm expecting her to challenge Mandy Rose and then win the title, okay? Now, if Wendy Chu wins, then I'm expecting... if Wendy Chu wins, then that means we're going to have Toxic Attraction retain and we're going to end up seeing Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez go after Toxic Attraction for those titles. So either or, we'll get to see what picture Roxanne Perez goes in, because I'm definitely expecting her to win the tournament. If she doesn't win the tournament, I would be surprised. Super, super surprised here. All right, and then we also got Bron Breakker versus Joe Gacy. I'm definitely expecting Bron Breakker to win. If he doesn't, Lord bless all of us, because that is going to be rough. Rough, rough, rough. All right, and lastly, Pretty Deadly versus the Creed Brothers. I think it's too soon for Pretty Deadly to lose the titles. As much as I'm a big fan of the Creed Brothers, it's just too soon for Pretty Deadly to lose the titles. So I'm going to say Pretty Deadly to retain. And then Cameron Grimes versus Carmelo Hayes. I'm going to go with Cameron Grimes. Again, it's way too soon for Grimes to lose the title. So definitely Cameron Grimes there. All right, guys. So there you go. That was In Your House for NXT In Your House predictions. And that was also NXT 2.0 for you. Now, once again, I will be back tomorrow for a late night stream of AEW Dynamite. Make sure you guys tune in. And then I'll see you here on Friday. I still haven't decided what's going down, because I will be at Rampage. Unless I decide to not go to Rampage, there's a possibility I may not go, because I might get too lazy and I might just rather do the post show here. But we'll see. I haven't figured it out, because then I might get FOMO and I might want to be there. I haven't decided what I'm doing, but we'll figure it all out in due time. But thank you guys so much, as always, for watching. Please give this video a like. Subscribe to F4W Online. Help me spread the word about the show. Go to youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. Check out my new interview with Nick Wayne. You will love it. Trust me, you're going to want to know. If you don't know already, you're going to want to know who Nick Wayne is. He is the youngest talent to ever sign with AEW Dynamite. He is only 16 years old. When he turns 18, he will be in AEW. So check out that interview. Until next time, I'll see you all later. But guys, don't forget to support Wrestle Rumble, WrestleRumble.com. Bye.